אנחנו קוראים מספר
כתובות. We're reading from the Kabbalah for the Students, page 251, the Arvut essay, Mutual Guarantee. You can download the article from Kabbalah Books and ask questions at kab.tv. Again, page 251 in Kabbalah for the Student, the Arvut, Mutual Guarantee. This is to speak of the Arvut, Mutual Guarantee, when all of Israel became responsible for one another. Because the Torah was not given to them before each and every one from Israel was asked if he agreed to take upon himself the mitzvah, precept of loving others in the full measure, expressed in the words, love thy friend as thyself. This means, as explained in Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. This means that each and every one in Israel would take it upon himself to care and work for each member of the nation and to satisfy all their every needs, no less than the measure imprinted in him to care for his own needs. And once all the whole nation unanimously agreed and said, we shall do and we shall hear, each member of Israel became responsible for that nothing shall be missing from any other member of the nation. Only then did they become worthy of receiving the Torah, and not before.
So we see that what's required of us is to correct the general kli, the vessels that feel themselves disparate, disconnected, even opposite to each other. The light that worked to connect them before is now working to separate them, to create conflicts, feuds, violence between them, and so on. So what we need to do by the corrections is to arrange the light corresponding to them in such a way that it will reconnect them once again. In what way, we don't know. How the vessels are supposed to be broken, you can imagine how you take, say, a brick and then you shatter it to pieces. Or let's say you had some really good, nice vase or something, and you shatter it to little myriad pieces. How will you know to connect it? We don't know. If you see it in advance and so on, like archaeologists do, that's a different thing. But if we don't know in advance, if everything for us, we as in our path from bottom up, is a surprise, then how can we do it? We ask, we request, we demand, we awaken the upper one to correct us. And we're not going to correct it ourselves. So, man has no possibilities here, because in our corrections we're rising to a higher level each time. So how could it be that the baby will be smarter than its mother? Every time we rise, we ascend, we do it by requesting. And then the upper light does its work, and we merit the new state. And that's how it is. We give the request, the upper one does the work. That's why it's called the work of the Creator. It isn't called our work, because who does the work? The Creator. My work is only to ask for it. The Creator's work is to do it. If we know exactly that division each time, it saves us a lot of power. We don't get confused. This is something we really have to think about carefully and not forget it, because usually we want to do things ourselves. And as it is written, to do what the Creator has done means to prepare ourselves for His work. It's a work of preparation. It requires a lot of effort and sweat. Many actions are required, especially in discovering that we're incapable, like he explains to us in his letter, where he says that there is no happier, how does he say it? Yeah, no happier moment in a person's life than feeling desperation of his own strength, and that only the Creator, the Upper Force, can perform the correction in him. And this is how it is time and time again. So these things seem to us very difficult, and it's really so, becoming as one man in one heart, uniting in a way that, how is it even possible? It's really, it's imaginary things that can only lead to crisis, breakage, disappointment, much greater failure than before. Right? Say, look at the example of Russia and so on. That is if we use an incorrect operation. But here, the operation is only to discover. You don't have to become worse. You just have to discover that you're in a bad state. And this is sufficient in order to demand, and you receive the good state instead. So our work is actually quite simple. And if we all come together and work according to this law of mutual guarantee, arvut, then our work is quite simple. We discover the evil, and with it we discover the goodness. Where does it come from? How to achieve that? And by these two opposites, we have that tension of coming to correction. Then we invite the light that reforms, and it does that. And that's how it happens again and again. So life will become, as people will become closer and closer into circles, they'll discuss, and one shall help his friend, and that way will clarify the deficiencies in us corresponding to the correct state, where we're all connected together, will clarify and find the efficiency and power in the connected state, mutual bestowal, and so on. To the extent that we clarify these two points, will activate the upper force, and it does everything. As it says, he who makes peace above will make peace below. And that's the order. So we can't explain that in such a way to the 99%, because there we don't speak about the upper force or the Creator. We're talking about nature. So we want to bring them to such situations in workshops and excite them in a way that they'll see that there is a certain inner force generated, created. The force of connection, the force of a group. And by that force, we can solve problems. Meaning, in a realistic, simple way from our emotional experience.
You know, now we're going through a period when I hear many friends, and there is this statement that one cannot get himself out of the jailhouse. So here we're all together, we have circles, Shabbat, Fridays, we're all together. Most people on the outside, it's not that way. They're sitting in front of the screens, and there's a problem, because actually...
You're talking about people watching the screen, watching us.
Yes, of course, because you have many groups in different Kabbalah, Arvut homes or abroad. So saying this sentence, it's really hard, it's impossible. I cannot bring myself out of their troubles. And I hear people who are really depressed, they have problems, and it doesn't even turn to me. So I now have to discover that he is in troubles.
Since yesterday, were you there with us or not?
No.
So where were you? I was in Haifa. So we were there? Yes. Okay, so from yesterday, I received many letters and one phone call, and both from men and women, that the some women with their babies who sat at home and watched us, and groups who got organized and sat together, and individuals who sat and watched by themselves. So for people who sat in groups, they felt no difference. So people who even sat on their own, watched it on their own, the focus group was heard very well, and they felt, well, you know, these are inner exercises that a person makes. I also listen to the focus group as I'm sitting there, and I feel them. And it doesn't matter, one, it seems like one person talks nonsense, the other one talks about something irrelevant, and another one speaks about his job, and then someone studies Kabbalah, so he brings his wisdom into it, and so on. And all those things are only about, I want to cling to the one speaking. Whatever he speaks about, doesn't matter. When I adhere to him, when I want to be with him and the others in the circle, I start absorbing even the nonsense that I'm hearing, or the philosophies or whatever. I begin to accept them and also connect them. I begin to hear the upper force in them telling me, look, this is how I'm addressing you. This is how I'm speaking to you. How do you listen to it through your vessels? How do you respond? And it's enough to sit on your own and watch it on the screen. I'm telling you, if a person already has an impression from this and he already was present in such a situation in our convention or something like that, he can also continue through the screen. How do you think the whole world will work on this? Will always be, well, it's a question. I don't know. Maybe we'll need it. Maybe not necessarily. Maybe through all the communication channels that we have, you know, like everyone outside today are looking at their little screens on their iPhones. You know, no one's looking at each other. It's either look at this or that. That's how I see people. I look at people and I think that's how it's going to happen. There is no problem to connect. Yes. Mushi.
I want to ask about the request, the prayer. If I want to get a job, I want to go drink, or anything else, there is this state where I create within me mechanically a request. And I don't need to actually go and request anything. It's simply created within me. So this process that you know, talked about, that we have to ask the Creator, is that done similarly, in a similar manner?
Again?
Let's say I want to go and I want to have a drink, or I want to pass some test and get a new job. I don't have to tell myself that I need to request. Between the desired and what I really and what I have, that gap, that I really want something and I haven't received it yet, that gap creates within me this state of a request that I want something. Is it the same with the Creator?
Yes, but there's a prayer which is like how each and everyone prays, in the sense that everyone has adhesion with the Creator, but unconsciously. We're all immersed in the Creator. The Creator is fulfilling us, yet it is not a desired manner. He wants to be disclosed. Disclosed means that you'll feel, as it says, all my bones shall say, meaning you'll feel in each and every desire that He fills up that desire, that He created that desire. And other than that, you'll feel that you're addressing Him from that desire and you're relating to Him the same way He relates to you exactly. That's called adhesion. The fact that He creates you and guides you and leads you, sure, but you don't take part in that. Of course, this is not the desired form. The whole world acts like that. All the desires are sustained and guided that way by the light. Yeah?
Maybe I'll ask differently. Why can't I turn to the Creator?
Who says you can't? You turn to the Creator every moment, even though you don't want to. You still do it. But it's not consciousness. It's not understanding. It's not a dialogue. There's no reciprocity. That's why it doesn't count. A baby on its mother's hands, it doesn't know anything. It doesn't know anything about her as well. It's only immersed in itself, as if unconscious. So that is the way we have, that is the way we have to grow to become like him. That's the reason for creation.
When I go on a, when I pass some test or take a job and I don't get it, so there's this sensation of the gap that creates this sensation in me that I really want to get it, but I didn't. So it's the same with the Creator, that I make efforts to connect and I don't succeed, and then I'm supposed to turn to him internally. There's no need for me to do anything external, yet it doesn't happen. I don't get that gap. How do I create this gap? Meaning, when will you have a reason to turn to the Creator? Yes. Let's say you have some action, God forbid, some very unpleasant deed can take place. Well, for you, let's say something that will harm, offend your honor in a way that you're willing to burn so long as it won't be disclosed towards the whole world. And you feel that you're helpless. And here, in the most dire state, you begin to feel, and it's really a gift from above, that there is none else besides him. That he is sending that to you so that you will turn to him in order to request that it won't happen. And then you turn to him, asking that it won't happen, and suddenly you feel shame. I am turning to him so that it won't happen, or is it that I want to be with him, and this fear and this shame and this anxiety, I want to keep them, but only so that specifically through those I will be connected with him. And in such a way you advance, meaning there has to be here some fear on the side of our egoistical desire, that we cannot cope with it. Then you will need the Creator. This is an example that people can understand, hopefully everyone, because shame is it's from the root of the shame in itself. So, like that. So, now you're capable, you want this to happen or not. So, it turns out that, but without making some cover over this, no, it's pretty clear. No, just like that. Well, so I'm asking, so without disturbances, it's impossible? There has to be such a disturbance that you really... No, it's possible. It's possible, yes. Enter the group. Enter the group. Sit along with them in such a way... Like in a rocket, you're going to simply fly. So what takes the place of the disturbance? If I have a disturbance, it's clear that I'm going to turn to him. But what? Well, disturbances of love, that you're unable to love them, to connect with them, yet you're pressuring to be in it, and you're incapable of it. So instead of such beastly disturbances of shame or being hurt or things like that, you will be given other disturbances. There have to be disturbances. You're not going to turn to the Creator if you have an opportunity to correct yourself otherwise. Only if you feel that you're in a dire state, meaning you have to increase your deficiency for the connection and make it what is above everything else. And then to discover that you're able to do anything but not that. And then that gap between what you have and what you want will give you that cry out towards him, towards the Creator. Like from that threat of shame or something. Otherwise, he won't. No, but what has to happen so that it will be to the same extent that I really get it from the disturbance? What has to happen in the group?
to make as much effort as he can and force the group to influence you, and that is called exactly the arvut, mutual guarantee. That's what we're learning out now. Yes, Malik.
I wanted to ask from a different angle. We're now reading the Arvut essay, and we are in a time of a realization of Bala Sulam's dream for a widespread dissemination to the 99%. Our representatives are going to the wide circles, to the masses, to the 99%, and reality also obligates us to move to our new building. We are now in the process of designing it and also searching for the right location. I wanted to ask you and to evoke this question in front of all the people watching us. What's going to be new in this new worldwide logistical center? How is it going to be different from what we have now? What is the innovation? Why specifically in this state and in this time we have to move to something new?
We have to move to a new place because we just have to leave this place. The authorities no longer allow us to do here what we need, so we have to leave. And leaving to some other place that we will rent doesn't pay off, because we have to bring all our technology and equipment there, the studio, the broadcast and everything. The investment is so big that if you leave a place, say once in 10 years, you put so much effort into it and so much money into it that it doesn't pay off. It's not, and also the rent costs so much that in 10 years, basically, you cover the place. It would be the same as buying it, including all the technological equipment and everything that we need to set up there. So it turns out that we really have to buy a place. And there is something that an opportunity that really fits us now. And perhaps I'll use this opportunity to also address all our friends all over the world to help us to buy that, so that we'll really be able to establish this dissemination headquarters, logistical center, from which we will be able to organize. And especially now, when besides lessons, we're beginning to be more connected through workshops and mutual activities, and we'll have to do these things more and more. We'll have to be closer and closer. We'll have to set up events where we can show, set examples, and give trainings to lecturers and moderators, discussion organizers, and so on. There's a lot of training that we need to do to all our friends all over the world. So in short, we already have to organize our place in a new way, in a way that fits it. Fits this new direction. So in short, we do need help from all our friends all over the world. I'll write down the URL where you can go and contribute. It's home.cob.info, home.cob.info. And that's it. If our friends can, they should really help us. This is going to be everyone's home. And now we're going to be more and more closely connected to all the groups we can. In general, we'll have to start feeling each other as one collective system. So we need a center that will also be structured according to this new style of how we're working to connect everyone. Well, let's hope that those who can will also help us with this, and we'll have enough means to do it. We still don't have enough. We need at least double or triple the amount we have now. So, let's continue with the article.
We have in a week the book fair, which will take a week here.
So you all want to scratch the lesson, yeah?
Not a scratch lesson, but there are some questions we prepared ahead of time. So there's a big crew. There's going to be 10 days of a book fair all over Israel, over 15 cities from Nahariya to Elat, from all the way in north to the all the way south. And we're going to be handing out 10,000 Kabbalah books and 10,000 play game kits like we did on Independence Days. And many people are going to go to those locations. It's a very big event, 10 days, a very big happening, and it's covered by the media. And there are some questions that we put together here. One question we wanted to ask is, how do you see this opportunity that we have for meeting the wide masses, particularly this year?
Our opportunities now are for specific target audiences that we gather in all kinds of specific places, institutions, schools. It's still not really the masses. We have to look at the situation. Before, when we went to distribute newspapers or when we went to the park on the Independence Day, that is the wide audience, the broad audience. And we have no other opportunities for that. So all kinds of courses, seminars, workshops that we give today isn't really the masses. It's not the same level of the people. The book week is usually a sort of a festive event, like a festival around it. Many people come with children, lots of couples, and that's actually quite good because we have something to offer them. Before we used to offer Kabbalah, and this was very niche, you know, not interesting to most people. Some people even reject it. So people would just go and pass by it. And today we have all the education about the new situation and the new world and the global crisis and so on, and also what has to do with children education and relationships and family and so on. So we have to go out with that first. And next to it, add Kabbalah books, but next to it. The most important is to distribute the material for the 99%, for the masses, and to all the people. And therefore, I think we shouldn't miss out on the opportunity. This is actually the correction that we have to do. So I really hope that all our friends, which are really my students, will listen and understand what we're doing and what I'm talking about and join that full force. This week it's 10 days, right?
Yes, it starts in a week and it's going to be 10 days.
Okay, so for these 10 days, we have to try to work as hard as we can. And also, perhaps the opportunities we have is not just in the evenings, but also setting up some book stands in malls or some other shopping centers or something. Things like that. So we have to try to do that as well. And it's a really, really unique opportunity. We depend on this. There's no question. I also wanted to ask the Arvut booklet. If it's good, maybe we'll print it like a newspaper so it's cheap and just hand it out. I don't know. Maybe think about it that way. Because the booklet is costly compared to the newspaper, which is, and then we can really hand it out. Same information. Same content. So I'm addressing all our groups here and individuals, and who do they need to turn to in order to get information and help in organizing or anything like that? What phone do they call?
The usual telephone, 1-700, etc. And I also know that we're turning to them, to the groups.
Our 1-700 number, okay. Okay, so we'll go back to the article. Ah, more questions about it, okay.
There is a question both about the preparation and also if we can sharpen the innovation of the message that would be also evenings beyond the counter itself, where we can buy books. We're going to hand out many presents and books. How do we create this interaction in a way that would be effective in that touch, in that contact where I am now giving something to someone. What is the right intention, attitude to maximize the effect? What's different in this year than previous years?
First of all, perhaps we have to be identified with our voot, right? I think, meaning whether it's the hat or something like that, I don't know, we should think. That's one. Two, I think most of the people do identify us in some way, whether it's through Kabbalah or Arvut or both. The distribution, the hand, the way you hand out, I don't know, it needs to be something that really allows a person to be more connected. You can't just, give him a book that is really not in his taste. You have to give him the most accessible general material, but emotional. We have to think what it is. And so that material will lead them to then come closer or turn on our TV channel. I don't know what else to say. This is a regular action.
Now, in this context, today there are many ongoing projects that are going in parallel. There's a lot of doing around dissemination. What should be our attitude towards those 10 days?
Only that. All the rest of the tasks can be put aside. Besides, urgent things that you can't stop, like an IV. So some people will stay on them. But this is the operation for these 10 days. And if it's a general operation, then everyone is enlisted. And just like that, some people are in preparation, some people moving, some people in handing out. In short, and if we do it all together here in this small country, in all our cities, with all the groups we have and all the powers we have, both groups and individuals, then it's already a collective action. It's together. There's advantage to it. There's a higher value to it. I don't think we have any other so intense activity where we all attack together. It's very important. And how each and every one feels that he is together with the others as a circle, and every evening going out and doing it and thinking about it, and this is adding to our collective kli. It brings us closer to revelation. What could be more? I don't understand the questions even. Why are there any doubts to participate or not? Only for that. Not how much we will succeed in handing out or distributing material or talking to people. But the action itself, that we do it together towards the broad audience, this is the action that we're reading about here in the article. What do we exist for? In order to go out to the people so that later with the people here we can address the world. As he explains to us in the end of the introduction to the Zohar and here, everywhere. We've received an opportunity to connect with the Creator if we have someone to pass it down to, the abundance that we'll get from Him, so that it flows through us. And if we don't go out to these activities, then where will we gain contact with Him?
Last question. What type of preparation? Because the flow of things until this week when the book fair starts, how to come there yet? So it won't be an action where, I get up this morning and this evening I have to be in the counter, but rather how to prepare myself starting now to this collective action.
They need to turn to us, as far as I understand, and we have a group here, a team here, that is dedicated to it, right? That is designated to it. including logistics and supplies and registration and all kinds of things. And then you get all the guidance from there. And where is Uli? Where is he?
Uli,
so maybe you'll sit here and explain. Give him a microphone.
Well, we organized, actually, for very organized trainings in the groups. We started them Friday. Yesterday we did a broadcast. There were about 15 groups with us that received this guidance, both logistically and also in terms of sales. We also did simulations. And actually, each group, when we say 15, these are several groups that got together to the same place. We're going to do it again next Tuesday. And what's happening is that we're actually turning to the groups and explaining to them precisely what they should do. And they also turn to me throughout the whole day, and I brief them. So we have this common work that we do together. And indeed, we can see that, well, 15 groups, that it's really more like 20 because they were sitting together. It indicates the desire.
That's a force.
Yes, there's a very strong desire there.
But there are many more individuals.
Precisely.
They should join.
Exactly, and we have many works where we need them.
Yes. And the women force is also not extra.
Yes, I can tell you that I'm getting phone calls from women all day. They are actually organizing everything, organizing the groups and passing everything into the groups. It's really great. So, yes, we can certainly make use of the 700 number. Ran and his team are sitting there. They update everything. They talk to me. And everybody's in contact with me through email. So it's really well organized.
This is really working in circles, as we learn, in connecting. So I recommend to anyone who just, you know, perhaps you're sitting at home watching us, connect, join, see if you have an opportunity to come and help. Even if your help is not urgently needed, because if everything is well organized, then there's not so many places to contribute. But still, for the person himself, it's very worthwhile.
Are we
done?
No.
Yeah, continue with the article. So what did Baal HaSulam say? In the law of nature, it is registered in the Reshimot, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, that we must come to a state where we are like inseparable parts. In each and every part, each and every cell, one with each other, there's no difference between one and the other, and everyone in his parts, all of that together is one whole. That is what the form we need to achieve, along with keeping the difference that comes from the shattering and the connection that we have above the shattering. And that gap is what provides us with the intensity, the power of connection, 620 times more.
With this collective responsibility, each member of the nation was liberated from worrying about the needs of his own body and could keep the mitzvah, love thy friend as thyself, in the fullest measure, and give all that he had to any needy person, since he no longer cared for the existence of his own body, as he knew for certain that he was surrounded by 600,000 loyal lovers who were standing ready to provide for him.
Well, here we need to add, there are two things here. One, it says, guys, let's all unite in mutual guarantee, we'll all care for each other, then everyone will lose their own fears about past, present, future, whatever. Meaning everyone leans on the others, and then everyone feels great. It's like some psychological therapy, you know, how to escape your anxieties. However, we perform the act of connection in order to not care for ourselves, rather care for our connection with the upper one. We want the connection because through that we identify how to connect with the upper one, it's always upwards. Any action that we do below has to be for the end result, not just to calm myself down right now and then I feel good. So then we're like a football team that unite in order to win. We unite in order to raise ourselves, elevate ourselves higher. Therefore, the connection is not for calmness, although it does rid us from all the problems and troubles, but we replace those problems and troubles that at the moment push us to connection with troubles and problems of connecting with the Creator. So that will be our problem and trouble. This is called the upper fear, the upper awe. And that fear is where love dwells. Fear is the vessel, love is its fulfillment. Towards Him, I begin to have fear. Not about all kinds of suffering, blows, shames, disappointments that can happen to me, or rather I replace that with awe towards the Creator. I want to be close to Him, like Him in bestowal, and that is the goal to me. When do I see that it's so? When I don't care about what happens behind, as long as it strengthens my inclination forward. And that's how you replace all the corporeal troubles with spiritual troubles. That's what we call suffering of love.
A question about Arvut. I hear that, well, we have a problem with this location. We need to collect money to get a new place, buy a new place. Now we have to go for the book fair. So I'm asking about Arvut. Is that only an attitude, a relation, or does this have an expression, that manifestation that I need to participate with everybody by contributing money or going out and helping on the book fair? Somebody's going to ask me for something else tomorrow.
Look. He says that each member of the nation will work for all members of the nation in order to fulfill their needs, no less than the measure imprinted in him to care for his own needs. So what are you asking?
I can't even provide for my own needs. How am I going to provide all the needs of...
He answers this exactly as well. How can I care for another if I care for myself entirely? I don't even have a free moment to listen to what the other says. I say, how do you do? And I go away. I don't even listen to how the other one actually is doing. But that's it. So what do? We connect until we feel.
Earlier we spoke in the beginning of the lesson about all kinds of problems, troubles that a person has that come from the Creator and actually help him come closer.
This is in a personal way.
Yes, but there's something about the Arvut that as if gives, well, let's say I have a problem, all my friends come and support me. So it's as if blur the problem that I have, and by that maybe they blur or lessen my ability to draw closer
to
the Creator.
You're asking for me to give you some more problems?
No, I'm asking how specifically by acting in Arvut that actually brings us closer to the Creator, even though it gives us a certain defense against the troubles that the Creator gives us.
If you go into the group correctly, you receive a different kind of fear than your previous fear. No one promises calm and peaceful life, but it's unpeaceful in the sense that it's an adventure, like people who climb mountains, who discover new things, who go out of their house to all kinds of tours and trips, and they discover things. They're not tranquil, but that lack of tranquility is an adventure. What is it? I'm going to get something greater and better and greater each time that will fulfill me. I'm in a deficiency, but with expectation, perhaps, anticipating fulfillment. And this is better than fulfillment itself. You are familiar with this from your life. If you just get fulfillment, it's over. The anticipation is something that can hold you for years, and it fulfills you. In spirituality, it's actual fulfillment. It's what we do above the will to receive itself. We do it through the returning light, the clothing of bestowal.
So I want to understand this issue of the earth. So continue Mushi's question. How is it manifested? What do I need to...
You receive desires from everyone. Knowledge, thoughts, desires, reshimot. Everything begins to be inclusive. You regain the pieces of your soul. What are we talking about here? I see before me now the most active part of my soul, which seems to me as people that are alien to me, that I disregard, and so on and so forth. These are pieces of my soul. It is, what seems to me the farthest, what I disregard the most, is actually the closest to me. It's this kind of opposite value. We'll see that later. So what is Arvut? It's that I don't work according to what I see, but according to what Kabbalists tell me. Go and discover that this is how it is. Just make the effort for it.
I'm trying to ask a little bit differently. How do we, in our inclination towards our Arvut, in our desire to reach our Arvut, don't come to a state where we kind of become sleepy, as if we feel we're all together, we have the force, and it calms us down. Rather, we continue in that direction that you spoke about earlier.
If you are without a point in the heart, then you truly come to tranquility. Either you go with others like a pack of dogs or like a football team to win someone over someone. But if you have besides this sense of connection and fulfillment, the spark, then you'll feel emptiness. The spark will give you greater emptiness, but in the collective kli. Because what did you get? What do you have? Nothing. And then, each time, you'll have to try to connect to the Creator. And you won't be able to calm yourself down. But unless you belong to the, Hasidic people or people off the street, meaning people without a point in the heart, then fine, but then it's okay. Then you do all kinds of workshops to be better with each other. You improve education. You do all kinds of corrections of human society. That's fine. That's what we need to organize. But by us organizing that for the 99%, they begin to be connected to us. They themselves can't do it. They can't organize even one correct round table. There's nothing to talk about.
Is there a benefit in having our workshops also on realistic actions we do, like the book fair or the new building we need?
I don't know. The book week, yes, we can sit and discuss it, but it's more like a work discussion, like a work meeting. The workshops are in order to find the power of connection. Yes, last one.
About the topic of connection. The 99% don't have that connection towards a goal. They only have the connection for the sake of connection.
What do you mean, for the sake of connection? I want better education, better health system, better this and that. I want my life better organized. And now I'm told that someone, perhaps someone who's smart, tells me, offers me something, but he says, let's try, maybe through unity you'll feel that we can solve these problems, no one else will be able to, and we will. And surely, why do I care, okay, sitting and philosophizing with the other? I sit and do it, and all of a sudden I do feel a greater force. Maybe we can organize it that way, and in that style of rising above the gap and looking for the common denominator, then we can reach a better order in life. You are teaching them a very simple psychological approach to life, but in fact, if it is coming from your participation, internally they'll begin to feel that they depend on you. They won't be able to continue these circles on their own. They won't be able to. Yes.
Only about this issue where we want the connection. We said earlier about us, we want the connection because in it we recognize our connection with the upper one. What do they recognize in the connection?
They recognize that they depend on us, and specifically through our guidance, they get livelihood. And with hope for that, we'll conclude.
We have some final announcements. The virtual group, Studying Kabbalah Together, like every other Wednesday, tonight, also at 8:30 p.m., we'll have the open lesson of the Israeli virtual group. We invite you to take part, ask questions live through the forum in Kabs Ra'el, an experience called Kabbalah in Modi'in. Next Tuesday, June 5, at 7 p.m., we'll have the weekly meeting with Rav Lightman in Modi'in. During the night, there will be a dialogue about the topic, the influence of the media in our times. What is the role of the media in the social change, and how can we transform it into a beneficial factor in society? We invite you to send questions to tbstudelkabs.co.il. With this, we conclude. Thank you, and have a great day.
I'm on the path towards a goal I run, no time for rest. My journey's just begun, it's all uphill. No finish line in sight, I'm low on fuel. And I can't see the light, I stop and pray. For the strength to go on, my mind says stop. But my heart is strong, suddenly He is by my side, pushing me with His loving drive. He evokes this love I can't explain. And all I want is for Him to attend. Yashar Kel, it is the only way. Yashar Kel, let's turn this night into day. Yashar Kel, I'm not turning back, Yashar Kel. Let's use this life to attack. We move on, the rain is coming down, the path is tough. If we hold each other up, it really slows us down. We're both so tired, He wants to turn around. We pray together for our strength to grow. Covenant we're starting to bestow. Suddenly they are by our side, pushing us with His loving drive. They evoke this love we can't explain. Now we want is for them to attain. Yashar Kel, it is the only way. Yashar Kel, let's turn this night into day. Yashar Kel, I'm not turning back. Yashar Kel, let's use this life to attack. La la la, la 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 la. La la la.